Hello, everyone. Hi. You know what? I want to go around before I introduce our speaker and see who is all here. And I'm going to start with the table that said, hi, Lillian, to my right.
This is Barbara
Reichenbaum. Oh, hi, Barbara. Yes. Hi, Barbara. And
hi.
Yes, next. Yes. That's all your two. There's a table. Is there a table behind you?
Yes.
Ah.
Yes, there is.
Okay. Your name? Oh. Dee Dee. Okay. I remember she was. Okay. And who else is at your table? Okay, hi. Hi, Kathy. Okay. Okay, that's everyone. I want to. Did I miss anyone? No, I didn't. So welcome, everyone. We're glad you came to AMC's luncheon. Our speaker is here. Her name is Grace Burke, and she's a supervisor with the Department of Rehabilitation. And she's going to tell us about what the department is doing statewide around multicultural issues, the Native American Summit, etc. And I'd like to introduce Grace Burke.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for inviting me to the Association of Multicultural Issues. Concerns, excuse me. I have to excuse myself when I speak loud. When the wind, Santa Anas are blowing, so do I. I get all stuffed up. So my apologies for that. But hopefully this microphone will help a little. The department. Okay, hold on. I'm trying to stand and do this. Maybe this is better. Is this better? Okay. I'll sit then. All right. The Department of Rehabilitation is starting to recognize one key factor in doing business, and that is that we have to establish a policy of diversity. And as usual with most government agencies, we're a little behind. So let me ask you a question. How many of you in your companies that you work in the organizations that you're with, have a diversity policy or initiative? Very good. Excellent. About four people. How many of you can tell me what your diversity policy or initiative is? I don't want you to tell me, but just give me a summary. I believe your name is Linda? Yes. Excellent. Excellent. Yes. Yes.
I've been there for 7 years now, and I work in the criminal facility, and I can say honestly that very, very well, not only do they hire people with all the different personnel, but they hire disabled and they do their content.
excellent news. And that is part of the reason why the Department of Rehabilitation is embracing a diversity initiative and policy. And a lot of companies have found out that not only is a diversity initiative or policy important for their employees, it's good for business. So having said that, I'm a collector of quotes. Anybody like quotes? I love quotes. So for those of you who are quote nerds, let me see if you know who this is. It's on diversity. Diversity, the art of thinking independently together. Anybody want to venture to guess who said that? Okay, time's up. It's Malcolm Stephen Forbes. All right, so great businessman, correct? All right, here's another one. Infinite diversity in infinite combinations, symbolizing the elements that create truth and beauty. Good guesses, but it's another nerdy part of me. It's Commander Spock from Star Trek. Yes, I'm a Trekkie. Yes, I am, so live with it, right? Diversity. All right, here's the last one. We all live with the objective of being happy. Our lives are all different and yet the same. It's close. It was somebody who obviously endured great difficulties. Anne Frank said that. So diversity is nothing new. Diversity is good policy, and diversity is great for business. And there was a study done by the a group called the ORC Worldwide, a global human resource management and consulting firm, and they found out that all companies that had diversity management and diversity policies all had great business success. Not only were your employees happy, they also enjoyed great success in sales or marketing or whatever their product was. Part of diversity is, of course, to have cultural competency. And part of the cultural competency is, of course, awareness of our own culture and the cultural world, attitude toward cultural differences, knowledge of different cultural worldviews, and cross-cultural points of view and skills at all levels. So diversity is embraced from the bottom up and from the top down. But most important, this consulting group found out that the most successful companies had a CEO or chairman who embraced the diversity issue from the top and issued a minimal 3 to 4 policy memos per year regarding their diversity policy and their embracing the diversity of their company. So as such, the Department of Rehabilitation has put together a diversity work group that is in the process of working on developing a diversity policy and diversity management. Now, the diversity will incorporate not only for the recruitment of employees at all levels, especially the senior vocational rehabilitation counselors, QRP, but also from the bottom up, which is our clerical. And all of our employees should be embraced for their differences and for their diversity. And as such, we want to do better business as a company, as an organization, as a service provider. And one of the things that the diversity policy has created is a culture of inclusion, which is one of the key factors of any diversity policy. And inclusion, of course, is beyond race, beyond color, beyond religion. It also goes beyond immediate employment and into the concept of disability. And one of the things that I wanted to share with you, and I don't know if any of you know, but there is the first annual disability diversity policy forum in Washington, D.C. on November 11th. I don't know if any of you have heard of it. I was just sent that by a diversity management company, and I've gotten myself into, as a state employee, you know, it's not always easy to do this, but I've managed to get myself into this distribution list of private companies that send me incredible amounts of information that I think we should all have as people of service to the community. But this forum is because what they've realized as we all know that regarding diversity is that the Disability Innovation Forum is working toward engaging the disabled community, because not only does it make it is the right thing to do, as they say in their brochure, it is also a profitable thing to do. So again, embracing diversity is part of our marketing, of our sales, of our company success. And one of the things that we definitely want to do with the Department of Rehabilitation is to have absolutely key employees with absolute wonderful skills, both bilingually and biculturally. Because, as you know, some people who are come to the Department of Rehabilitation may have a skill that we don't always acknowledge, or a skill that we don't always reward, and we certainly want to be a company that does that. And if you notice, I'm using the word company a lot. I've been spending a lot of time with companies. All of a sudden, I'm not a state employee. I'm a company employee. But you'll forgive me for that. The other thing that one of the goals of the Department of Rehabilitation is, of course, to do outreach to our consumer base of all ethnic and disability groups. And there certainly has been some lack of our marketing to the community forever. I like to tell the story to the people that I talk to in the business community, that while I was going to college and working on my degrees to become a rehabilitation counselor, no one ever gave me a class in business. And so my marketing skills are very poor, or they were. They're getting better, but they were very poor. And the marketing of our services and the marketing of our organization is key to all ethnic and disability groups. And so we're also developing a policy for outreach. And that's where it is very important to all of us that we embrace and become part of the community. One of the recommendations that the diversity work group is doing is to have a diversity manager. Now, the Department of Rehabilitation right now in their human resource department does not have a diversity manager. That is absolutely key, because although I am aware of some of the cultural and diversity projects in the state, I don't coordinate them. I don't know about all of them. I kind of know a few things here and there, but I'm not always aware of what is happening. The diversity manager would be in charge of, like in private business, of having the diversity policy developed and develop diversity initiatives and strategies. And part of that is to, of course, keep track of all the best practices of outreach out in the community. Outreach to the Department of Rehabilitation has been key in getting new consumers to apply for our services, but it also needs to be key in developing partnerships with the business community, because, after all, we are in the business of what? Employment. So how could we have missed that? How could we not have a marketing strategy to the business community? As always, the primary customer for us is our client. They are number one. But the secondary customer should be, and will be, if I have anything to say about it, is the business community, the person who actually employs people, people with disabilities, people without disabilities. This is the business partner, and we should be speaking their language. And it has become a sort of a mission for us to learn how to speak their language rather than the other way around. Because, as you know, most of us go to meetings, and we're very, very good at telling people in our own jargon what we do and how we do it. But we're not always good at speaking the business community language. The business community language is different than ours. And all of you who are out there know that exact, right? Yeah. Yes. They speak a different language. And, you know, value added and return on investment are terms that were not familiar to me 5 years ago. They are now, because when they speak to me in those terms, I need to know what they mean. We had an advisory council business advisory council that gave us information on how to become partners with the business community. And one of the things that they recommended for me to do, and our other partners in this mission, they recommended that I read the business section of the LA Times or the Wall Street Journal at least the front page every day. Because if I read the front page of the LA Times and the Wall Street Journal, they hit on the highlights of the business community, and they use the terminology that I should be familiar with. And to be honest, I have been doing that. Well, let me backtrack a little. I don't read the Wall Street Journal every time. You know how expensive that paper is? Jeez, you know, I still work for the state, you know. but the LA Times, I read the front page of the, at least the front page of the business section every single day, so I'm familiar with the business terminology. The other thing that we are in our goal is to make sure that when a business enterprise thinks of hiring or consulting regarding their hiring needs of people, persons with disabilities, that they come to the Department of Rehabilitation. That is absolutely key. So right now, if you said Department of Rehabilitation to Kaiser Permanente, and I don't thank you for letting me use your name, they probably say, who? Right? Who are you and what do you do? And of course, it doesn't help that our name is Department of Rehabilitation. Often it doesn't include employment in that title. So they think this Department of Rehabilitation is a drug rehabilitation, physical rehabilitation, and now my new all-time favorite, the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. Right. So we have a lot of work ahead of us, but that is some of the goals that the Department of Rehabilitation is working. Now, if you're going to ask me, are these goals statewide? Not yet. The local Department of Rehabilitation here in the Greater Los Angeles District does have an employment council called Diversity Employment Source, and that's where we're doing the work locally. Other areas have their own, but I'm not familiar with them. But that's, again, why we need a diversity manager. Now, the other thing that I want to talk to you about, and I know I don't have a lot of time, and I certainly want to take any questions or feedback from you because it's important. The other project that the Department of Rehabilitation is working on is doing outreach to underserved communities, underserved populations. And one of those underserved, and this will come of no surprise to any of you, is American Indians. They are the lowest applicant rate for the Department of Rehabilitation. But as it turns out, they're also the lowest applicant rate for almost any community service, unfortunately. So outreach has become a key issue in getting people of Native descent to apply for services. And this is not, you know, it's not that this is any excuse, but this isn't exclusive to California. And apparently this is nationwide. So there has been many movements through several agencies that have worked on getting more American Indians with disabilities apply for services from the Department of Rehabilitation or even Tribal Voc Rehab. How many of you know that there was a Tribal Voc Rehab? Oh, very good. Thank you. One person knows that there was a Tribal Voc Rehab. The Tribal Voc Rehab is the duplicate of the Department of Rehabilitation Rehabilitation, except it's exclusively for the tribes that have the funding called 121. Now, these are usually rural tribal Indians, but here in the urban areas, we have a problem. We do not have a tribe to go to get their applications, explain to our services to them. We only have urban Indians who don't have a real connection to their tribes here in Los Angeles, unless they can connect with an agency that provides services to American Indians. That isn't always easy. And what happens is that they falter, they feel disconnected, and they go back to the tribes where they came from. Back to the tribe that they left, unfortunately, so they can seek out opportunities and employment and training, and they go back. Now, as a result of that, there was a project called the Dene Project, and it started in 1998 here in Los Angeles. The Dene Project was meant to put together organizations that are service providers and hook them up with the Native community. And this was their goal, was to have a better service delivery for their population. Their suggestion was that local areas develop organizations similar to the Dene. They can call it whatever they want, but the organizations come together with state agencies, county agencies, nonprofits to have a seamless delivery of service. In California, The Department of Rehabilitation was invited to attend the Dene Project, and many of us attended. And unfortunately, not a lot of people took up their offer to develop an organization, except, and I'm going to sound immodest, for us here in Greater Los Angeles District. We decided to follow up on their recommendations to form a local project based on Dene. And we started out very small, and I have to tell you that the first meetings, it was 30 Department of Rehab employees in one American Indian agency. Now, I am happy to tell you that since 1998, when we first started meeting, now we have 15 Native American agencies, and the Department of Rehab is still involved. Myself, and I have to give credit to another supervisor in the Santa Barbara area, because they have a large tribal organizations in that area, the Chumash Indian. You've heard of the Chumash Casino, right? Are up there, and they wanted to join us. So from Santa Barbara through Los Angeles and Orange County, we developed the American Indian Advisory Council. The American Indian Advisory Council met to develop strategies to better serve the Indian community in all aspects of social services, including the Department of Rehabilitation. And myself and the supervisor in Santa Barbara, her name is Sarah Asbury, and she deserves a lot of credit for continuing with this, met with these organizations, and we started to develop a way to work together. Now, one of the key elements of the American Indian Advisory Council and the Native community is that the services that we provide to them have to be culturally sensitive. The Indian community has a cultural identity that is old and beautiful, and it's also complex. So we needed to understand the Indian culture. So at the first of several years of our meetings, and we met quarterly, and we still meet quarterly, is to develop a curriculum of cultural training, mainly for the Department of Rehabilitation employees, the counselors to be specific. So at every meeting, we had several speakers that spoke about tribal life, tribal issues, cultural identity, and how to best work with American Indians. This included things as simple as, and I know that when I first heard this, I have to be honest, I was very surprised, and kind of delighted in a way, but surprised, and it won't shock you. At the first meeting, when they come to apply for services, regardless of who it is you don't fill out paperwork. You don't sit there and ask a whole litany of questions, as we usually do, as bureaucrats, as state agencies, as nonprofits, and say your name, your address, your social security number, where you live in the last 10 years, your social, why you're here, what you want, and where do you want to go. Basically, what they told us is that as American Indians, what they want to do is discuss their issues in a non-governmental manner. Well, who can blame them, right? The government has not been exactly good to them, right? And here I am, a state of California, Department of Rehabilitation, with my snazzy card and says, how can we help you? Well, no. They have to feel as family. The second thing we had to do is win over the confidence of the actual Native American agencies and win over their trust. This was through the advice of the American Indians. This can be done by socialization, not by meetings, not by, you know, Robert's Rules of Order, and certainly not by having an agenda that is inflexible. In the Indian community, they operate on what they endearingly call Indian time. So if you start your meeting at 10 and you're a stickler for time, and I am, unfortunately, well, that's really not going to happen. So you better be flexible. So if you have an appointment with someone who's applying for your services and you tell them to come in at 10 o'clock in the morning and they come in at 10:35, then welcome them. I know that we all work on schedules, but welcome them, you know, speak with them and let them feel you out and talk to you, and then make another appointment. And eventually, yes, they will comply with our culture versus the other way around. So it sounded simple to us. So we started changing our way of approaching the native applicant. And it has worked very successfully in all the offices that participated. Are we there yet? Absolutely not. We still have a long way to go. We are told that most of the urban Indians do not even know about the services of the organizations in our community. And part of that is that they are not we need an introduction to an American Indian through an American Indian agency. So here in Los Angeles, we use two agencies that do the introductions. United American Indian Involvement, they're in downtown Los Angeles, and Southern California Indian Center, downtown Los Angeles and in Fountain Valley. They are the two biggest supporters of what we do. But they also provide services to regarding health, substance abuse, children, and elders. And there's the other item that we learned a great deal from the Indian community, and that's the elders. They revere their elders. Just as a funny side note, we're working on the American Indian Summit, and it's coming up next weekend. And in the room, whoever is the elder in the room, the elder person in the room, is the person who usually takes the lead in any of the topics. Well, a couple of weeks ago, unfortunately, I was the elder in the room. And, it was a new position for me to be the elder in the room. But as they revere their elders, I was the person to take the lead. They are also very spiritual people, so often they lead with a prayer. And it's usually an American Indian cultural prayer. Sometimes, because American Indians are also Christian, it's a Christian prayer. It was a new experience for me because, working for the state and the separation of church and state is very clear. It was something that made me slightly uncomfortable at first, but to be honest, I am no longer uncomfortable with it at all. It is something that is expected in their culture, whether it is an American Indian prayer or a Christian prayer, and I am perfectly comfortable with it. I'm no longer shaking in my boots of seeing if somebody's going to catch me praying. So those are the things we've learned through the American Indian Advisory Council. We still meet quarterly. Our next meeting is going to be in February. And if you want to be invited to the council, please give me your card and I'll add you to our distribution list. We don't have formal membership. You just come to the meetings when we have them. We have them 3 times a year. Now, obviously, as a council, we have to have goals. And here are some of the goals that we have, and we change them from year to year. So if you come to the February meeting, one of the topics will be the goals for the next year. But here's from our last meeting in February of 2008. The 4 primary areas is to become aware of the services available from state and Native American organizations that serve the population of Native Americans. Educate service providers and government agencies on cultural sensitivity. Learn about disabilities and health care needs of Native Americans. And the 4th, exchange information on events, jobs, organizational services to encourage more Native Americans to utilize services, especially the services of the Department of Rehabilitation. As one of the projects that we have put together, the membership of the American Indian Advisory Council thought that we should hold, with the advice of Jim Warren, who works for the RSA, Rehab Services Administration, he recommended that we have a summit of all our organizations where Indians can go and go from exhibitor to exhibitor, similar to what you have here, of all our services in a culturally sensitive manner. We started this 1 year ago, so right now we're preparing for the 2nd annual Native American Resource Summit. We started out with 14 exhibitors, and we sold out. This year we're up to 25 exhibitors, and we are one short of selling out. Anybody want to come? I want to sell out. I do. And basically what we do is we join with a powwow. Are you familiar with powwows, all of you? Yes, okay. One of the largest traditional powwows is held in Santa Fe Springs on November 1st, the first weekend of November. So this year is November 1st and 2nd. And on the recommendation of one of our advisors, they said to have the summit with the powwow because it's so hugely attended. And last year, there was about 7,500 people that came to the powwow. So that means all of us who had our booths there, all 14 of us, were able to disseminate information. And because we were affiliated with the Native Hope International powwow, they believed in our services. So that increased, from our feedback of the exhibitors, that increased a lot of applications and interest. Now, this powwow, all powwows are open to the public. So there were non-Indians there at the powwow. But we did a little mini survey so we can get our demographics. And get this, of the people we surveyed, and this was by no means scientific, you know, this was in the J. Powers and Associates kind of survey, it was just informal, 57% of the people who filled out the survey reported a disability. 57%. So you see how we have a lot of work with the Department of Rehabilitation to get people to apply for services, especially urban Indians. The summit this year costs $100, and it's basically to cover our expenses. And we do have funding this year from the State Independent Living Council, the SILC, that I think you're all familiar with. They were very generous and gave us some funds. So this year we have we could actually rent tables and chairs and canopies. And we're going to look very pretty, I think. Our goal is, of course, to provide one of the greatest underserved populations with the services available in the community, and for them to trust us that we're going to take good care of them culturally and with sensitivity. Is it all done? No. We still have a long way to go. But, you know, to me, having a long way to go is only a challenge. It's an opportunity. And I love a challenge. Anytime anyone says that I couldn't do something, oh boy, that's like lighting fire under me. You know, I'm going to figure out a way to do it. And I have a policy, and I know some of you met the Chief Deputy Director of the Department of Rehabilitation, Luciana Profazza. She was here earlier. She's a great supporter, by the way. Don't tell her I said this. Promise? I act first and apologize later. So if I do it wrong, I do it wrong. I apologize, and then I never do it again in that way. So that I have to do it that way. And sometimes the best policies, the best ideas come from the bottom up, not the top down. With all due respect to anybody here who's on the top. So we need to all work together to meet our diversity goals, first of all. We all need to work together to provide culturally sensitive services to all ethnic groups. But I especially call to you to help me in providing culturally sensitive sensitive services to an underserved population of Native American Indians. They are my passion right now. I am not Native American myself. My goal is to also bring in professionals that are of Native descent so that they identify with the department in a culturally sensitive, bicultural manner. So with that, I want to open it up for any comments or any questions that you may have, and I hope I can answer all your questions. Yes. It's an excellent question, and thank you for reminding me. I actually have some information on other... let me address first the Asian community. In Los Angeles County, in the Orange County area, the District Administrator June Keen runs the Asian Task Force. And they are doing exactly what you're talking about, is recruiting more Asians with disabilities to apply for services and developing strategies to serve them, including providers that speak the language. One, the reason why the diversity work group has been put together is because since the Department of Rehabilitation changed its minimum qualifications to have master's degrees in order to become rehabilitation counselors, the amount of bilingual candidates has shrunk tremendously. One of the things that we're doing to improve that is because we are no longer going to be able to hire people with bachelor's degrees. We're hoping that we can develop a feeder class into the professional level by encouraging further education and training and bilingual skills. And it's in the process, so I don't even want to call it by any name right now other than a feeder class. But that's what we're working on. That is one of our recommendations to the executive leadership team. In terms of the counselors that are already on board, we have quite a few bilingual, bicultural counselors, but in California, it's almost impossible to meet every language need. So we contract with a translation company and an interpreting contract. And they're not optimal. It would be like us going to a doctor that doesn't speak your language and you're trying to tell them through another person what your medical problems are. It just doesn't work. So we need to have bilingual, bicultural employees. And we're hoping that through this feeder class, we will be able to fill that need in the future. Right now, it doesn't look great, I have to be honest, but we are working on it. The department is definitely aware of it. Chief Deputy Director Profatsa is very supportive of the work group, so we're hoping to make some initial presentation in the next couple of weeks on our recommendations, and one of them will be to have a feeder class and promote people who have some language skills to increase their capability through education. Now, in terms of the Asian Task Force has got their work cut out for them as well, because we do not have a lot of Asians applying for services, but it's getting a little better. Hispanics right now are 32%, according to the last census, they're 32% of the population in California, and the Department of Rehabilitation has 26%. So we still have a little bit of way to go, but it is improving. I work in the City of Commerce, East Los Angeles area, so I don't have to do a lot of recruiting there. 74% of the caseload in my office is Hispanic, Latino. And any other question? Did I miss something? Okay, thank you. Linda. Exactly, yes. Oh, excellent. Please see me. I know that I'm out of time. Linda, I'm sorry, Linda. Lillian?
Fluent in Spanish. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Oh, more questions? Yes.
Go ahead,
please.
My comment was that there's also going to be another area of cultural training with regards to those of us that are disabled and Hispanic. I worked with the Society for the Blind and Sufferer
Yes.
As a translator for their senior impact project for teens with vision loss that are Spanish speaking. And there is a huge cultural barrier between how the belief system of what our work is as disabled people in our culture. It's horrible. It's disadvantageous within relationship with our minority side of the community.
Yes.
And I think it would be a great thing if the Department of Rehab could also have a diversity training in recognizing the cultural differences, because there are really really great when it comes to seeking services and staying with the service.
I absolutely agree, and we want to develop something statewide. And the diversity manager position that I spoke of earlier, they would be in charge of that. They would be the developer of that kind of program, that kind of cultural identity, cultural issues for different ethnic groups and different cultural groups. But that's how it would be managed statewide. Because right now I dabble. I know what's happening locally, and then I dabble what's happening in Santa Barbara, and I dabble on what's happening in Sacramento. I'm a dabbler right now, and I'm not comfortable with that. But I would love to. Thank you.